This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on The Score.
As we talk about ownership groups in this town, whether it's the Reinsdorf family and the White Sox, or the Reinsdorf family and the Bulls, or now the Bears and the McCaskies, we talk about succession all the time. Like, it's just, what's going to happen? Do you have any suggestions as to what the McCaskey family ought to do now that Virginia has passed? There's seven children who have a big decision to make, whether to sell the team or to try to run it. Maybe they could have some sort of competition to see who could end up in charge. Any thoughts would be most welcome.
Full disclosure, and I think you guys know this, I'm engaged to Kelly McCaskey, so there's a little bit of a crossover here. So that having been said, which she just walked by, hey, sweetie. That having been said, I've told Kelly to tell her family, you know, I think the Bears have had an incredible run, but maybe it's time to shut it down. Like, take your wins and just move on. So I'm behind the scenes pushing for bankruptcy and shut the whole organization down.
That was the great Adam McKay, executive producer of Succession, of course, writer of Anchorman and Talladega Nights and so much more, on the Spiegel and Holmes show last week. I didn't know he was engaged to Kelly McCaskey. Editor's note, he is not. But his suggestion for the Bears was just to shut it down, take your wins, and just move along. I don't think that's what they're going to do, Mark Grody. I think they're actually going to try to compete yet again. Upcoming, sorry.
Oh, wow. Did you just burp, brother?
I did. I tried to swallow it. Keep going.
Open and shut case for the burp police.
Yep.
Yeah. We haven't done a fart investigation in a long time.
No, it's true. Didn't the Midday steal that bit?
I mean, what haven't they stolen?
Yeah, I don't know.
Isn't that their bit? I thought that was their bit.
It was definitely our bit first.
It got conflated.
You are perpetuating that
I'm
narrative.
Sorry. Yeah. Yep, I walked right into that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was definitely our bit from long ago.
They take our drops. They take our ideas.
Sure.
Because Spiegel popularized it because he was the first ever fart on our show. Yeah. And so,
Was that the one during the pandemic?
He was a farty boy.
I was home, and I was talking about the Bears' offense.
Farty
I believe.
I was
yeah, he was a farty boy.
He's a farty boy.
My girl wants to farty all the time. Farty all the time. Yeah.
Well, and listen, I point this out, that isn't to say that the Bears' flaws aren't valid or aren't worth discussing or aren't worth scrutiny. The Bears' offense is bad and inconsistent and not getting better quick enough.
Oh, man.
Oh, God, dude. You farted.
Stop. It's just guilty as charged.
Is this your nightmare sorry, Spiegel?
This right here?
Yes. This right here.
You mean hosting with you?
No. Having to hear your bodily functions. Play
the Bears' offense is bad.
The fart police, they live inside of my head. The
Which agent police. Was it that farted with, was it with Bruce?
It was Alan, Alan Farter. Alan Gassy. Alan Gassy,
yeah.
I believe, was his name.
Yeah, that one was severe.
Yeah, no, that was.
They can be replaced by lesser players, but as a group, they cannot be replaced. Not that talent.
Right.
No!
Yeah, there's no question about it.
No! I didn't remember it was that long.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That reminds me of my favorite moment from inside the clubhouse when Jim Bowden was clearly on the toilet during an interview, and we learned by the presence of a surprise flush midway through the interview.
Forgot to mute the phone.
Forgot to mute the phone. Or
like, we've
didn't
all
know
had
how.
Conversations on the toilet.
Sure.
But you remember to mute the
Maybe
phone.
Maybe not on the radio, necessarily. But, yeah, I usually remember
Grody
that.
Grody called out a guest when he was working with Rosenblum one time. And it was a beat writer. And I think it was Rosenblum who says, are you in a bathroom right now? And he's like, no. And Grody's like, yes, you are.
And I do believe that particular beat writer was angry with me for a while.
Who was it?
Would not come on our show.
Was it Pat Boyle?
And it wasn't Pat Boyle. Yeah. He was actually a very nice man. So actually, it was Chris Cook.
The cooker.
Yeah.
The cooker.
I mean, I'm like thinking, it's on the radio. It happened.
Yeah.
And I have no ill will whatsoever.
You shouldn't have pointed it out.
Chris Cook.
Don't point out stuff that happens on the radio. You should do that thing you do sometimes where you don't listen. That's better.
You've been wanting to fire that off for a while.
Putting on a beat writer to talk about the Blackhawks.
Well, there was a time, Shane. There was a time.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was probably in 2011 or something like that. No, Chris Cook was awesome.
Hot time. By the way,
are you flushing the toilet on us, Chris?
No, I'm not. No.
Oh, well, it sounds like. What is it?
Yes, you are. I'm sorry, Chris. I owe you an apology.
So sorry that you lost Chris Cook for a little while.
He's a good dude.
He was
a
delightful guy.
He was the Tribune beat writer for the Blackhawks.
Yes, he was
an important man. He covered some baseball,
and his
too.
Father,
really good at his job.
His father, Jerry Cook, was a legendary news writer and sports writer in this town. Terry Boers used to call him the cooker.
The cooker.
The
always,
cooker.
Always smoked the pipe.
Yep.
Always had. Was one of the last people I knew that actually smoked the pipe.
Yep.
And,
Spiegel. Herb Spiegel right there.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Gary Grody, my dad, smoked the pipe for a lot of years up until they told him to stop smoking the pipe, but he stopped smoking the pipe.
They should hang out. They should hang
Absolutely.
Out, your dad and my dad.
Oh,
they'd have a good time.
They could talk maple tobacco and whatnot.
Mark, show the people your T-shirt.
Oh,
it is a glorious T-shirt. I wonder if you know the website to
the
find it
right
now.
Here?
Yeah, just point it at a camera.
It is. Well, I don't want to cover myself.
One of these over here. Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, how's that?
Right there. Yeah, that works.
Take the North.
It's a beautiful, beautiful T-shirt. The Take the North T-shirt.
That's right. It's our podcast that I perform with Dan Wiederer.
Uh-huh. And you were wondering about this division because it's an interesting time to think about the Bears division because positivity runs amok among Bears fans, but we've been here before. It ran amok last offseason.
Yes.
And there was a lot of us. I picked the over at 9.5 wins.
Okay, so you picked the over. Other side, Shane, Tanny, how many wins did you have for the Bears last year? Do you guys remember how many wins you gave the Bears last year, approximately?
I had them 9-8.
9-8.
And Shane, 10-7.
10 wins. I think I gave them 11 wins last year. I'm like really embarrassed by that.
We were all deeply wrong.
But we did the whys to it, Matt Nagy. We did it because
New
DJ
City.
Moore.
Old Irving.
Because Keenan Allen. Because Caleb Williams. Because Rome Odunze. We did it because the Bears had a top 10, maybe felt like a top 5 defense coming into the season because Montez Sweat, because Kyler Gordon, because of Jaquan Brisker. We all thought the Bears were going to be a 9-11 win team last year.
And where were we deeply wrong?
Well, we were deeply wrong offensive. On the offensive. We underestimated the issues on the offensive line. I'll say I did because I did not think this was going to be a bad offensive line coming into this season. I had some concerns, but things went awry when you had the Coleman, Shelton, Ryan Bates competition, and then Ryan Bates eventually gets hurt as your center. Same old issues with Tevin Jenkins, and then, of course, the dysfunctional Nate Davis issues. I don't know that we could have foreseen that, so I don't look back on that and say, boy, you really got that wrong. It's hard to have a good offensive line in the NFL, and I thought the Bears' offensive line going into this season was going to be serviceable. I never thought it was going to be good or anything like above a C plus or maybe a B minus, because it's hard to build offensive lines. But I did not think it would become so dysfunctional as it did for an array of reasons. So really my question is, relative to the Take the North and the North Division, is how far, based on all that, because that talent didn't go away. All that talent still exists with the Bears. Offensive line, you have to take care of.
And they're going to do that.
Right. So how quickly, if you believe in that talent, and maybe some people listening right now are like, nah, I thought it was going to be a bust all along. I thought Cole Kmet wasn't worth $50 million. I didn't think that, you know, Roma Dunze was going to have a 1,000-yard year in his rookie season. I didn't think that DJ Moore and Caleb Williams would have chemistry. Maybe you saw some of that, but I think the majority of people listening still look at those guys and say, those are pretty talented guys that you could build a winning team with. So the question is, how far away are the Bears actually? Are they really just a tweak or two, a player or two, I should say, that's not a tweak, away on the offensive line?
From what?
From being what we thought they were going to be going into this season. Because all those players, DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, well, he's probably not going to be back, Caleb Williams, Roma Dunze, Montez Sweat, Kyler Gordon, they're all going to be back next year. So did the Bears have a bad season last year, those core players, or are they bad players that don't work on this Bears team?
I think the whole design of team building was flawed when you think about a rookie quarterback. I think that if you're going to have a rookie quarterback and ask him to learn the ways of the league and learn the ways of protection schemes and reading defense in the league, you have to give him a running game and an offensive line. And they did not do so. And when I look back on being how wrong that I was most wrong about that. That they didn't focus on having a good run game and an offensive line and giving the quarterback a chance to do what he needed to do. They thought they could open it up and play with three wideouts a ton and be such a good passing team that they would surprise defenses when they ran on them, like they were the Kansas City Chiefs or something like that. And that was just a really arrogant and flawed plan by a first-time GM who has the arrogance of first-timers, had the arrogance of first-timers, like I've talked about for a couple years, and a head coach who really had no offensive philosophy, had none whatsoever, and let an offensive coordinator in Luke Getsy go along with the idea. And Luke Getsy had never trained a young quarterback on how to learn things in the NFL. He'd never really done that.
He learned from a quarterback.
Right. Yeah. They had a terrible plan in terms of helping a rookie quarterback assimilate into the NFL. And I believe that Ryan Poles has learned from his mistakes, and he has now a guy in Ben Johnson who will be much more empathetic and intuitive and thoughtful in helping a young quarterback, and he's going to give him a running game. And I think about what Jim Harbaugh said when he took that job in L.A. with the Chargers. How are you going to make Justin Herbert better? Quote, we're going to give him a running game, unquote. That was his immediate response. Harbaugh knew that's what they did for Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's what Greg Roman did for Lamar Jackson.
No doubt. And all of that said, I don't think it's crazy then to think, and this is hard to do, and they're going to have to really work at it. Are the Bears two good offensive linemen and a running back away from being where we kind of put them heading into this season? Are they that away from being a team that we can? Okay, now they're a 9-win team.
There's a lot of people in the league. There's a lot of people around the league who think so. Yes, I think that they're, you know, two or three new offensive linemen. I think probably three in the interior of that offensive line.
And you're not going to get top dollar at every single position. You're probably going to get one big money guy on the offensive line, maybe a draft pick, and then they've actually just signed a couple of offensive linemen. I don't think those are going to be starters, but
coaching matters. Coaching matters. There's a reason. Yes. There's a reason the whole world is talking about Ben Johnson when it comes to the Bears. There's a reason that we're excited. We just learned how much coaching matters after Getsy and Waldron and Eberflus, we learned how much sensible, thoughtful coaching matters.
That's a great point.
And they just got a guy who seems to know what he's doing. A guy who's coached multiple positions on the offense before he became the OC, has been one of the best OCs, if not the best, in the NFL for 3 years. Last offseason, he knew that he had job offers, and he said, I'm going to wait one more year. And during that time, I'm going to really think about what I will do when I'm head coach.
Yeah.
And he did.
Yeah.
And now he's here, and he's really thought about it. So his vision, that's why we do the segment called His Vision, he matters. And I can't wait to see what the relationship between Caleb Williams and a functional offensive line actually looks like when a smart offensive coordinator and visionary like Ben Johnson is directing it. It's going to be a completely different thing.
And when Ben Johnson really shows Caleb his part in all of it, when he shows Caleb Williams where he took a sack or where it was his mistake, that he made the wrong decision because, you know, we're sitting here ripping on the offensive line. A lot of it was on Caleb, too. Caleb Williams made a lot of mistakes this year. He had a typical rookie year, the high highs and low lows for sure. So that's another thing that Ben Johnson is going to make right, because it's not just the offensive line. A lot of it is. A lot of it was. But a lot of it is Caleb Williams, too. So that's such a big part. But I still nothing has happened with Caleb Williams that has taken me off. I still think Caleb Williams is going to be great. And so it's going to be fascinating to see what he does with this team, with hopefully a better offensive line. You know it's a better coach. And then the division part, Spiegs. That's the part where you look at Detroit's going to be right back. I can't include Detroit in this conversation. Detroit is going to still be great for a long time to come. We know they have all those ingredients that the Bears desire and want, and that you were talking about. Running back, offensive line, right there. Uh-huh. Detroit is still, so I'd leave them out of this.
I don't know. They lost both coordinators and a bunch of other coaches on the staff. And Dan Campbell is terrific, but
if Dan Campbell's a great coach, like we've all said it, Dan Campbell's the greatest in the world, he should be able to keep that team together with the talent that exists on it. But no doubt, look, they just lost, you're right, their OC and their DC to head coaching jobs. Uh-huh. So,
let's say you put the Bears at 8 wins or 9 wins. Yeah. That's you know, 9 wins would
11.
Be four more. Okay,
11.
But nine would be four more. Where are those wins coming from? Like, I mean, in the division last year, the Bears were 1-5.
Right. Well, this is what I'm saying. That's what I was getting to. Like, did Minnesota show themselves at the end of the season? Did Green Bay show themselves with their prompt eliminations in the postseason? Jordan Love did not have a great season. And even the year before, he was bad for a lot of the year and then picked it up at the end. And obviously, you know, got the Packers into the playoffs and they dismantled Dallas.
Yeah.
But I just do think that there is some vulnerability. I'm not ready to say that the Bears are better than these teams. What I am ready to say is, oh man, it's probably a curse to say it. I don't think the Bears are that far away. And I know you used to hear that a lot.
They're not that far away.
But
it's the NFL. NFL's different than the way Rosner used to laugh at that in a baseball sense and like how you got to strip it down and build it back up. The NFL, it happens every year.
Yeah, but here's another thing. Bears don't have to really strip it down. Because I was worried. You have Ben Johnson coming in. He wants to do it his way. The rookie quarterback usually gets the benefit of the doubt. He can win 6 games and it doesn't matter. It's his second year.
Hmm.
But then you really look at it and you say, the pieces are there that you can compete and maybe, and I've got to see more, and I'll be going to the combine in February at the end of this month, you know, maybe start to think about putting the Bears back at the take the North.
What do you mean? Yes. Like take the question mark away?
Take the question mark away.
Well, who's going to come back to the pack in that division?
Well,
last year, I thought it was going to be Minnesota, and then Kevin O'Connell's coach of the year, and Sam Darnold is the most improved player in the league, or if he wasn't, he should have been.
Yeah.
But whatever. It's like, so, you know, it wasn't Minnesota. Is it Minnesota now because J.J. McCarthy's going to take they're going to take a step back as an offense? Are we supposed to believe that Kevin O'Connell can't coach a rookie who just sat there and watched all year?
Is
Green Bay going to come back to the pack? And you make good points about Green Bay. I'd love to see Green Bay coming back to the pack. Do you know what Green Bay's record against the division was last year?
What?
1-5.
Okay.
Same as the Bears.
See? Okay.
I didn't realize that.
I think you're making the argument right now.
So maybe it's Green Bay that comes back to the pack. That would be glorious.
That would be really nice. Yeah. And I there's something about Minnesota, too, and I know we spent the whole year not trusting that Minnesota was really good, and they were really good the whole year and win the division.
Until the last two games.
Until the last two games, exactly, that they were completely ousted out of it. Could they come back to the pack? Because that franchise, it feels like, I have to go back and look, they're about as hard to predict as any team in the NFL, the Minnesota Vikings, because they've had a couple of come out of nowhere, including this past season, come out of nowhere seasons.
And the one before it with Cousins was another comeback.
Yes.
Come out of nowhere, right?
So there's been a lot of that with Minnesota. And sometimes they're like, occasionally they're bad, but usually that's a team that's average. So I never expect Minnesota to completely fall off the table, but come to the middle of the pack. Yeah, it's almost like the NFC North lost a lot of the power, the oomph that it had going into last season when we thought it was the best division.
So
and it probably was.
The Bears were really close in a lot of games that they lost because of coaching malfeasance last year.
Good word, by the way.
Black Ned Flanders points out in Twitch. I don't know. I guess he looks like Black Ned Flanders.
Oh, I thought there was like a
But he points out in Twitch, the Bears were a blocked field goal away from sweeping Green Bay. Don't I know it? My bet would have hit. And they were two Eberflus brain farts away from splitting with Minnesota and Detroit. I'm not sure if you call that what happened in Detroit.
You're talking about the Thanksgiving Day game.
But either way, they were close in a lot of games. They should have won the Washington game and been 5-2.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? There was a lot there. So coaching matters, and coaching's going to make a big difference. If you're telling me... Right. I mean, right now, before offseason moves, if I got to go over on 7.5, I'm going over on 7.5.
Yeah.
And I might go over on 8.5.
Right now?
I might.
Wow.
I mean, they got a lot of assets to use.
Yeah. See, that's
and you
what
know they're
going to
go offensive line. If they use two out of those top three picks on the interior of the line and they sign a guard like either Trey Smith or Becton or somebody, you're going to be like, oh, wait a minute, man. They got three new offensive line pieces.
But right at this very second, if the line was set at 7.5,
I go over.
Really?
With the expectation of moves to come.
Okay.
$74 million in cap space.
Yeah.
And
so you trust. So I like that. No, you trust the Bears. It's been a long time since I've heard somebody say, yeah, I trust the Bears to get it done. I like it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a different look at and the Bears deserve some of that. That after this search and Kevin Warren, what he did deserves a pat on the back.
I think when next year starts, you and Dan Wiederer should take the question mark away from the Take the North podcast.
By the way, it's pronounced Wiederer, first of all, just so you know.
Former Oakland reliever Greg Catteray?
Ooh, I don't remember Greg Catteray.
Okay.
Wow, you got me there, man.
Nobody does, dude. Don't worry about it. That's the kind of baseball mind he has.
Yeah, I'm usually...
Tony La Russa,
right there on
Tony
those
La Russa
kinds of things.
Invented the modern bullpen, at least what was then the modern bullpen, with Catteray and Eric Plunk as the short guys, Rick Honeycutt, and I think it was Gene Nelson as the two long guys, and Eckersley as the close.
Gene Nelson as in the former Cubs... No, that was Davey Nelson.
Yeah.
Davey Nelson was the former Cubs broadcaster.
Now I got to find out whether it was Gene Nelson.
I'm thinking about Davey Nelson. You're thinking about Gene Nelson. I don't know what's going on
over there.
It was Gene Nelson.
I feel good about that.
Shane's thinking about the band Nelson.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm thinking about their father, Ricky Nelson.
I can't live without your love and affection. Wasn't that it?
Yeah, definitely. That's exactly what I was thinking about.
That's hot.
I was thinking about Tony La Russa also inventing my hatred for baseball.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking about the half Nelson that Shane's going to put me in if I don't break.
Oh, wait. Can I ask you a question after this? Maybe I could do it right now. You've heard of the song Leave It, haven't you?
By Yes?
Yes.
From 90125?
Oh, had you also?
Sure, Shane. Yeah.
Well, now
one down,
more shocked.
One to go. Shane. Another town and one more show.
Yeah.
Come on,
yeah.
man. That's kick
Guess who didn't know it?
I
Tanny.
Oh, hell yeah. Badass.
It's so badass.
So badass. Produced by Trevor Rabin.
Really?
Big Yes Rebound album.
Are they all still alive?
Not all of them.
Okay.
Christopher Squire's dead.
Guitar on this one, I think, is Dag Julin.
Not true. Oh, turn it up. Here's the vocal breakdown. Come on, man. Let's go.
Slaps, dude.
Come on, that's badass. It's
totally.
A killer song. It's the same album as Owner of a Lonely Heart.
That's right.
But this is better.
That synth in the background is insane.
Yeah.
I like the boom.
One down, one to go.
Yeah. One more time. Another. I can totally see them in the performance studio on this floor. Hey, yeah, the remaining members of Yes are doing a show.
John Anderson can still sing, yeah. I do believe. He is Mark Grody. I'm Matt Spiegel. It's the Spiegel and Holmes show on 670 The Score. Grody's going out tonight. Where's he going? You need to know. We'll do it next.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.